And we first started studying Colossians on September 1st this year. And other than Missions Weekend, we have spent 8 weeks talking through what God has been sharing to us through this book. Today will be sermon number 9, and it's the last of our series. Next week, Pastor John will be with us. We only have 2 services scheduled next week. We're going to have a service at 8:30 here in the sanctuary and 11 o'clock in celebration service. So we won't have an 11 o'clock traditional. We'll be gathering over in Bethany for the 11 o'clock service. Last week, we looked at the section in Colossians that we called the Redeemed Community. And as Paul begins to close out this letter, he writes, the purpose of his writing is, so now that you know what the redeemed community is, you need to live like it. You need to live differently. He's turning their attention outward so that they might recognize their responsibilities to take the truth of the gospel and make it known to those who are outside of the Christian community. And so Paul begins by talking about how we're to speak to God about people. You know, how do we go to God about these issues? And so he says this in Colossians chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, effective evangelism begins with persevering prayer. To devote yourself is to persevere. And to persevere is to busy oneself with the task at hand. You know, at the very beginning of this book, we read this back in September 1st. Paul says this, and we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives just as it changed your lives. But this is why we need to persevere, because the gospel changes lives. The gospel changes our world. And so Paul says to persevere, and how does that apply to us? What does it mean to persevere? What does it mean to persevere as a husband or a wife? It means you stick with them through the good times and the bad. It means you continue to work on building a relationship with them. It would be the same thing if we talked about how we're devoted to our children or how we're devoted to our parents, that we don't give up on that relationship no matter how difficult it may become. I mean, certainly, you know, football season, we understand what it means to be a devoted fan or a fair weather fan, right? The devoted fan sticks with their team through good times and bad. Fair weather fans only stick with the team when things are going good. They're not going good, they're going to root for somebody else. But the devoted fan, the one who perseveres, sticks with. And Paul says, if you apply this understanding to prayer, the principle is very simple. Keep praying. Don't give up on prayer. There may be dry times in your prayer life. There may be times where you feel like you're just not praying the right words, or it seems like the words are bouncing off the ceiling. But Paul says, keep with it. Stick with it. Keep praying. You know how valuable and how important prayer is. So stick with it. Pray for God to open doors. Pray that God will give you opportunities to reach others. Pray for our church that we might reach our community for Jesus Christ. Pray for our children and our youth. Pray for our college students. You know, our goal is not only to talk to others about Jesus. We want to convey the power and the love and the forgiveness and the beauty of our Savior. And all of that begins with prayer. So pray. Bring it to God. And then Paul then begins to talk about how we're to speak to people about God. He says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be generous and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. You know, last week we talked about some of the practical differences in our daily dealings with other people. We talked about how Christian marriages should be different than other marriages. They're different because they are based upon a principle of service rather than benefit. Christian families should be different from the world because children honor and respect their parents. And parents treat their children as treasures given to them by God. We saw that Christians should be different in the workplace, that there should be no better place to work than to work for a Christian. Because a Christian employer doesn't view the people who work for him or her as profit, but sees them as a responsibility to be cared for. And there should be no better employee than a Christian, because a believer would work a full day's work for a full day's pay. But even more so, that this worker would be concerned with honoring the Lord for how they work. But the unmistakable message is that the member of the redeemed community follows Christ in every area of their life. That this idea of an unchanged Christian is an oxymoron, and it's foolishness, because how we live out our faith matters. And then Paul concludes with these words. Tychicus will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He is a beloved believer, beloved brother, and a faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. I am also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your very own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that's happening here. Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings. And so does Mark, Barnabas's cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God. What a comfort they have been. Epaphras, a member of your very own fellowship and servant of Christ Jesus, sent you his greeting. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and for the other believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greeting, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to my brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church that meets in her house. After you have read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so that they can read it too. And you should read the letter that I wrote to them. And say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry that the Lord gave you. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting. Paul, remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. In these final verses in Colossians, Paul lists out a number of people that he recognizes as a blessing. I think we might be tempted to skip over this section, right? There's a lot of names, a lot of words. I think it's important for us to pause and to recognize how blessed Paul was because of the people that walked alongside of him. These friendships that Paul talks about were anchored in Christ. These people, they were all from different backgrounds, and they were all brought together by their common experience of grace at the hand of our Lord Jesus. Because when we come to Jesus, something amazing happens. People who were once enemies become friends. In Paul's lists of friends, there are three Jews, Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus. And there's also some Gentiles, Luke, and Epaphras, and Demas. In his group of people, there was a doctor, Luke. There was a pastor, Epaphras. There was a fugitive, Onesimus, and a woman, Nympha. And they all came from different backgrounds, but their friendship was anchored in their relationship to Christ. You know, only with fellow believers do we hold so much in common, that we hold a common confession that we are sinners in need of God's grace. We share a common confidence that the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sin and sets us free from condemnation. We share a common hope that we will live forever in the kingdom of God as God's children. We share a common passion to share the gospel with all who are lost and perishing. And we share a common desire to serve the Lord and to serve one another. I mean, look around the sanctuary and see the blessings that exist right here. Remember the faces we saw just moments ago, and be thankful. And God created the church to be a community of interdependent people. We are all part of the same body. None of us can function effectively without the other. We need one another. And the church is the place where friendships can grow and develop. And if you want to develop friendships, then we need to take our eyes off of ourselves and give ourselves to someone else. We need to look for ways to serve together. Now, to get involved in a small group or a Sunday school class, we need to turn towards each other rather than away from them when times are difficult. You know, I hope our time together in the study of this book, that God has opened your eyes, and if he has, I would encourage you to respond. And perhaps God is calling you to respond in this way. Lord Jesus, you are the king and I am the rebel. I come to you not because I deserve anything, but because you have invited me. Today I gratefully place my trust in you. Today I acknowledge that my hope of heaven is based solely upon what you have done for me. Today I receive you as my Savior and my Lord, my friend. Today I give you the throne of my life, confident that you will take me to places I never dreamt possible. And if you have made that commitment, or if you have been strengthened in your confidence because of Colossians, then Paul's letter continues to yield great fruit. And as we approach the table of the Lord together today, we do so not to fulfill some sort of religious ritual, but we do so as though we are having dinner with a friend. We have dinner with our Savior, dinner with our family, all for the glory of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your incredible love for us. Continue your work within us, dear God. Continue to make us into the men and women of God you have called us to be. And Lord, as we receive communion today, may you bless us with this holy mystery. May we become for this world your body, redeemed by your blood. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.